let's say, well, it needs to be done piece by piece. So I'm going to try to do this as the Lord downloaded it to me this morning. This was a word of conversation between the Holy Spirit and Peggy. And since we've got all ladies here today, I felt it was for you guys.
Amen.
Okay? My daughter, I am in awe of you. I ask, how can that be? I am nothing compared to you, Lord. The Lord responded to her, you are my creation. My thoughts produce the light, the spark in your mother's womb that created you. All that you are, all that you are yet to be, has been foreordained by me. I am accelerating time. Time will be moving faster. Yet, real time remains the same. I asked, what does that mean, Lord? He said, what can be accomplished in the spirit will be more powerful than what is accomplished in the natural. All things spiritual are accelerating. It will take those who are truly committed to understand all that is happening. New revelations are to be written, are being written. I repeat, new revelations are being written. What was important in the past will no longer be. Past is past. What was important then is no longer for now. The new is coming at an accelerated speed. Those committed will see into the spirit more deeply. You are being elevated to a higher plane. Those committed will become overseers. You will be moved from a place that has been natural to a place that is supernatural. Those committed will and do have the ability to commune with me on a higher level. Your soul has been diminished and your spirit has become more alive than you have ever experienced. There is no more need of reasoning. The thoughts of doubts are no more. Faith has overruled the doubts. Fear has been overruled by faith. My spirit will no longer be stifled. Breakthrough is coming. A great fire is breaking forth. The heat is intense for those who are committed to withstand the testing. The reward will be great. The reward will be greater than the heat. Stay committed. As you honor me with your obedience, so will I honor you. Say, as a woman.
As a woman.
I receive these words by faith.
I receive these words by faith.
Into my inner parts.
Into my inner parts.
And I thank you, Holy Spirit.
And I thank you, Holy Spirit.
To confirm it.
To confirm it.
Over and over.
Over and over.
Until I'm convinced, that you really are on the job.
That you really are on the job.
Creating in me
a hunger for more. A hunger for more.
Of your spirit.
Of your spirit.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Did that.
And I had something to add.
Go ahead.
If that's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
This morning, I woke up and I was in 2 Corinthians 4, And I read knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And from there, what he gave me, in another version it said, we have no reason to despair. Mm-hmm. No reason to lose hope, and no reason to lose confidence. And we're not to be thinking we're all together without help. We have no reason to utterly be at a loss, to be despondent, to be mm-hmm. discouraged, or to be disheartened, or to be depressed. We have no reason to be feeling like there's no way out, or to be at a loss, thinking we're at a loss, or to be standing in doubt and to be perplexed and to be concerned, because what we're going through is an experience and a trial, and the experience and the trials are expanding us and stretching us. Then verse 17, what I wrote was the short-lived pains, or the light afflictions, pressures, anguish, persecution, tribulation, burdens, or troubles. These short-lived pains are nothing compared to the eternity. The short-lived pains of this life are creating, they're working for us an eternal glory, an eternal praise, an eternal honor, an eternal thanksgiving, an eternal brilliance, an eternal magnificence, an eternal splendor, an eternal achievement, an eternal prosperity, a dignity, a pleasure, a reputation. These things are creating for us an eternal glory that doesn't compare to anything we know here. And we faint not. We're not to be weak, we're not to be failing in heart, we're not to be weary. And the conclusion of it was Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose.
Amen. According to?
His purpose.
Yeah, you have a circle around his, right?
his purpose.
Because I have a purpose that I'd like, but...
And I learned that the reason why we get disappointed is because our expectations
yes.
are our expectations. They're not God's expectations. We get disappointed because our expectation wasn't fulfilled, but how do we know that God's expectation wasn't fulfilled? Of course it was fulfilled. We get disappointed because we don't know what God is doing, but he doesn't have to tell us everything he's doing because he is a God that works in secret.
Yeah.
So we have to learn to really remember and to apply the fact that he tells us we have the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
So if we have the mind of Christ, then we're thinking like he is.
Yeah. Then you won't be disappointed.
And we won't be disappointed because we're right in line with what he thinks. If you have his mind, you're thinking his thoughts.
Yeah.
If you have his mind, you're speaking his words.
Yeah. Instead of all of the carnal understanding of who we are.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
See, the carnal man is focused on death, fear tactics, and worries and doubts and unbelief. And I'm not saying those are the total list. It goes on and on. Okay? Mm-hmm. But that is all coming out of the realm of Adam and Eve. Yeah. Okay? And we talked about baptism a little earlier. And we will be having baptism on the 25th of October. But, you know, why were we baptized? We were baptized to come out of the natural realm and to enter the spiritual realm. Right. That was the intent. That was the purpose. Yeah. Okay? And so I explained to one of my sisters this morning that a great truth was given just a few weeks ago. And I didn't forget it because it was so impacting my heart. When I'm a baby in my mother's womb, the Lord allows water to protect me. So that water is more or less a buffer so I can be protected and I won't be hurt while I'm growing and maturing, correct? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I'm not born yet. Mm-mm. I'm still a little tiny baby with everything in me ready to explode. Mm-hmm. But I'm covered in that protection of water. So, when I come out, the water has to break first. And so when I come out of that birth canal, I am coming out, but the water has been removed. That's my real first birth, okay, into this realm. Then when I'm born again and I say, okay, you got to be baptized. Now, people say, why did Jesus have to be baptized? He was already perfect. Well, he still had an earth suit that came from flesh. Okay? So he went into the water. Why? Because he went down into the water and he was told by John the Baptist, hey, you don't need this. And Jesus said, look, honor me. Let me take care of this. So when you and I go into the water of baptism, we are submerged under the water, which represents our first experience of coming out of the womb. And the water then was surrounding us. So we are totally surrounded by water. And then we come out of that water into the new experience of living a life in the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
And I said, wow, that is baptism. The new creation then comes alive and is fully alive in God, and all the sin nature has stayed in the water. It doesn't come out with you. Mm. You become freer than you've ever had freedom before.
Amen.
Okay. What does that have to do with the price of apples? Well, it's fall, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So let that be a little gift that God will provide. As you learn to communicate with him and to be willing to go and write down what you get. You see, this Bible is people under the anointing of the Holy Ghost writing down what they received. If they had not written, would we have the record? So they obeyed. I will say, what's up with you? Why aren't you? Because what you're going to write down, my sister's husband went home just a few months ago. She would like to have some memories of what he wrote.
I have what he wrote.
But you understand where I'm coming from. But if he didn't write it, you wouldn't have it.
Correct.
Okay?
What he didn't do was record his thing.
But that's the part that I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Okay, so you hunger for the piece that could have been done, that wasn't done, at least up until now. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about why God writes things down and why he asks us to write things down. It's for your own purpose. Mm-hmm. Right? When our sister in Christ received the words from the Lord through a lady from Connecticut, from New York, they didn't have a clue, but now it's coming alive. And it's quite a while ago. Okay. Well, what I heard this morning was Malachi chapter 4. So that's where we're going to go right now. Malachi chapter 4.
I'm sorry, Pastor Kim. Can you say that again, please? I'm sorry.
Malachi chapter 4 is what I heard this morning.
Malachi 4.
It's just before Matthew. So you can go right to your New Testament and back up one page and you'll be right there. I was also told it had to be out of the Amplified. So we're going to go with the Amplification because, again, it has a purpose. All right. Verse 1. For behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven. Wow. Okay? You got to remember, Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. And it's written for the Jew. So it's written for the Israelites. We have been brought into the heritage of Israel by the blood of Jesus. Jesus was a Jew. His mother, his father, the natural and the spirit. For behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven. Here's the part that you may not like. And all the proud and arrogant, yes, and all that do wickedly and are lawless shall be stubble. The day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. Now I want to skip over to Matthew chapter 3. Verse 12, because you're going to see Jesus expounding on this word, and I'm going to ask that you back it up to verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water because of repentance. That is because of your changing your mind for the better, heartily amending your ways with abhorrence and your past sins. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy or fit to take off or carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fan, shovel or fork, is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear out and clean his threshing floor and gather and store his wheat in his barn. But the chaff he will burn up with fire that cannot be put out. Now you say, why are you skipping over to the forward? I'm trying to connect the two covenants together. I'm trying to let you see that the old covenant has something to do with what Jesus did. And when Jesus came, he was explaining what the prophets had actually written. And he was making it clear, and John the Baptist, of course, is going right into it because they all knew the word. They were trusting what God had written through the prophets. No different than you and me. We trust the new covenant, but the old covenant is still legal and it's still there. So now, when you look at this reality, you say, well, wait a minute. Everything is going to be burned up. No, the wheat will remain. Now, if you were a farmer, and you were to look at wheat at this time of the year, you would see basically ripe wheat, which you see on those jars. If you were looking at tares, they look exactly the same, except they don't bow. They stay arrogant and up in pride. Notice again, behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud and arrogant, yes, and all that do wickedly and are lawless shall be stubble. Why? Because God is saying, I'm going to take care of the arrogant. I'm going to be changing them, and I'm going to allow the fire of my presence to awaken them that they can no longer do as they please. And you and I look at the news every day. I'll be honest with you, I try to shut it off because it's irritating. It's so much darkness and trying to pervert everything that is of God. And you can see it and you can hear it. And it creates fear and lawlessness. I don't need to tell you about the lawlessness. You've had enough of that on the news. You can see cities going up in flames and, oh, well, it's no big deal. Well, it is a big deal. It's a big deal to the Lord because he doesn't like lawlessness. He likes to see people that are humble and accepting his plan rather than their own, which is what you pointed out. Amen? Verse 2. But unto you who revere and worshipfully fear my name or my nature, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. The two ladies that are visiting with us today both said they needed healing. Mm-hmm. Who is the one that brings healing? It's Jesus. And his beams, and you shall go forth and gambol like calves, released from the stall, and leap for joy. Why? Because when you get freedom and you understand what Jesus did for us, you are free. You are learning about his plan for the next few weeks and months and years. Verse 3. And you shall tread down the lawless and the wicked. Whoa! We're going to trample them? That's what he says. The church, when it is doing what it was designed to do, will overwhelm those that are lawless and that are wicked. And they will not succeed. Again, you shall tread down the lawless and the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, says the Lord of hosts. So the God of heaven is saying, watch my fire. Amen?
Amen.
Earnestly remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him on Mount Horeb, to give to all Israel the statutes and the ordinances. In other words, the Ten Commandments are still legal. Thou shalt not kill certainly is part of it. Don't sleep with your neighbor's wife. It's not a good idea. And I could go on. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. And that's confirmed in Matthew 11:14, and it could go on. And he shall turn and reconcile the hearts of the estranged fathers to the ungodly children, and the hearts of the rebellious children to the piety of their fathers, a reconciliation produced by repentance, produced by a changed mind. Of the ungodly, lest I come and smite the land with a curse and a ban of utter destruction. You'll confirm that in Luke 1:17. So I said, Lord, okay, you're trying to tell us, at least from my comprehension, that the wicked are being dealt with, but that the saints will have a place to walk. They're going to have a place to continue working for the Lord on a full-time basis. And those that you're concerned about, he will take care of by his fire. So I said, Lord, what else do you want to do? He said, now back it up to chapter 3. So I went to chapter 3, same amplified, verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, the Messiah, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple. Who's his temple?
Us.
The messenger or angel of the covenant whom you desire, behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts. And there's a lot of confirmations. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Revelation 6 confirms that. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he will purify the priests and the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. And they may offer to the Lord offerings of righteousness. Then will the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the ancient years. So this is kind of reverencing what God is about to do with Israel, and it's happening now. There are many in Israel that are listening to the word of the Lord and the good news that Jesus is their Messiah. It's not a full-blown explosion, but I believe it will happen. And as it does happen, you're going to see the church come alive and join them. How many got to see Rabbi Jonathan Cahn? I watched it again last night because it was on Daystar. And it was receiving seconds. It's like the second dessert. You know, you got one hot fudge sundae and they give you a bottomless one and you get another one for free. And you take that one home so you can, come on. You guys don't like hot chocolate?
Love it.
Verse 5. Then I will draw near to you for judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against adulterers, against the false swearers, and against those who oppress the hirelings in his wages, the widow of the fatherless, who turn aside the temporary residence from his right. And fear not me, says the Lord of hosts. I am the Lord. I do not change. That is why you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. The sons of Jacob are also sons of the natural man. Israel represents the spirit within him. So that's why he's got two names. And that might help you because you have two natures. You have your natural man that's made in the image and likeness of Adam. But when you're born again and you ask Jesus to come into your life, you become like him. So you're now entering a new covenant and a new way of life. Now, verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord. That was the host that was given on that day of prayer last Saturday, the 26th of September. And as we return, what are we doing? We're asking God to forgive us for maybe not understanding his ways, because some of us understand to a degree, and that's true of every single one of us. I don't have it all put together. I have some of it better than I used to. That's the progress. But I'm learning more and more that I can trust him to take me down that journey of life. And you know, my wife and I were talking about the speed of every week and every month. It goes by like a snap of our finger.
Amen, it does.
Okay? And both of us, of course, were communicating with our children this past week and our grandchildren. And we're watching them grow. And I remember when I was just a kid, a year was an eternity. But now, at this age, a year seems to be, my God, it's gone by already. All right? Here we are in the fall, and before you know it, it'll be Thanksgiving and Christmas. And we're almost there. Amen?
Amen.
Again, verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord. Who needs to act first?
We do.
He's waiting for us. He's waiting for us. He's knocking at the door, but if we don't open the door, he's not coming anywhere. He's looking for our choice to be visible to him. I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Of course, this gets a little hairy in the finance department. Ready? Will a man rob or defraud God? Yet you rob and defraud me. But you say, in what way do we rob or defraud you? You have withheld your tithes and offerings. You are a curse with the curse, for you are robbing me, even this whole nation. You say, well, the nation? Yes, because he's looking at the whole world. He's not looking at just one nation. He's looking at all of us. And that includes America. And I'm Canadian, so obviously I qualify for the Canadians. Bring all the tithes and the whole tenth of your income into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now by it, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing that there shall be no room enough to receive it. Malachi 2:2 is confirming it. Just a side note. This is not an accusing word from God. This is an accusing word to those who don't take time to obey him. When I started to be obedient to this calling, I couldn't do 10%. I did what I could. And I told the Lord, if you give me a surplus, I'll add to it.
Amen.
Okay? And that's how I could get started, because I couldn't do 10. Because I was afraid that somehow it wasn't going to work. And that is my sin. I was afraid. I shouldn't have been, but I was. So I tell people, you start where you are comfortable and obey the Lord, so that, watch verse 11, because verse 11 tells you why he is asking us to put him first. I will rebuke the devourer, watch, insects and plagues. It's not me that wrote this down. Who will rebuke the devourer and the insects and the plagues? For your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vines drop its fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations that shall call you happy and blessed, for you shall be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. Your words that have been strong and hard against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. And what profit is it if we keep his ordinances and walk gloomily as if in mourning apparel before the Lord. And now we consider the proud and the arrogant happy and favored. Evildoers are exalted and prosper. Yes. And when they rest, they test God, they escape unpunished. See, what are our expectations? We look at the rich and we say, they've got it made. I've got news for you. They don't have it made. Because God will test them in their season. He will look at their hearts, and some that are wealthy are able to obey God. But there's a great majority that are working for the dark spirits. Verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord talked often one to another, and the Lord listened and heard it. And a book of remembrance. You remember about the prophecies about the book? And about the word, a book of remembrance was written before him of those who revered and worshipfully feared the Lord, who thought on his name. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I publicly recognize and openly declare them to be my jewels, my special possessions, my peculiar treasure. I will spare them. There's your security. As a man spares his own son who serves him, then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him who serves God and him who does not serve God or him. So I read this, Lord, and I said, oh, there we go again. And the accusations are going to come, because when you read this kind of word, the enemy tries to use it. And he's going to accuse you. Well, you didn't do this and you didn't do that and you didn't give enough. And if you obey the Lord to the best of your ability, he honors you. And that's the bottom line. So whenever you give with an open heart and a willing heart. If you're forcing yourself to do 10% and you're not comfortable in your heart, keep your money. That's why this house has never passed the basket. Because we don't believe trying to put shame in people. And I don't accept that. Because when the Lord asked us to form a corporation, to form a church, I told the leaders, look, there will never be an embarrassed person because they don't have two pennies to put in the bucket. Because I've seen that happen in so many places where, oh my God, I've got to give something because everybody else is watching me. The one who's watching us is him. It's not the neighbor that should force you to give a dollar or 5 cents. Jesus took the disciples and he made them stand in front of the box in the scriptures when they went to the synagogue, and a little lady gave 2 copper coins. That would be the value of 2 pennies. And Jesus said to the 12, ha ha, see what she gave? It's more than all the rich guys down the street, because that's all she had. I remember a pastor friend of mine who was starting his ministry. And I was working at the other church then. And they had 2 children, I believe, by that time. And the offering basket came. They had nothing to put in it. They had no money. Everything had been used. So his wife said to him, and she whispered in his ear, because the basket's getting closer and the pressure is getting worse. She says, I'm going to donate my wedding band. So she took off her gold wedding band and put it in the envelope with no name and put it in the box. Walked out of church, and the enemy started to attack her. You're no longer married. You know, every lie that he can put in your head is what he does. All right? And he did. So for several weeks, she's trying to hide her hand. Because now she's under pressure from any of her friends that see, oh my God, are you getting a divorce? You know, you and your husband not getting along and all the stupid lies that the enemy uses. Well, as the Lord would have it, when the people who counted the money saw this wedding band, they set it aside. And they started to say, okay, God, we don't know whose this is. They didn't know if it was someone that was donating it to the church or anything like that. How the end result came is because somebody noticed that her hand did not have the gold band. And they had a snap vision because they were involved in what was going on in the office and brought back the wedding band. Why? Because their hearts were right. They were faithful to give. It was a godly gift. And nobody had to know, but God had made a way to provide the restoration. That says to me, you know, it's not about the giving. It's about our hearts. It's about if we've done what we were supposed to do in the financing of every single place where we're supposed to give. Because it's not always church that gets first. It's sometimes others that God will tell you, you need to help someone. You need to be a steward of what you have received. So this being the fall season, what I say to you is this. It's not the legal aspect of this law that I'm looking at. It's look at your heart and be obedient every step of the way. Because when you're obedient, the enemy will definitely accuse you. I'm trying to tell you something. He will accuse you. But if you want the Lord to protect what you have and what you own, His promise is that He will take care of the stealer for you. He will take care of the circumstances. And not too many weeks ago, I was reminded of a season where my wife and I had a wake-up call, as I would call it. She calls me and she says, because I'm working at the other church, oh, she says, we're going to have to do something. She says, the bell has been ringing on her freezer. Because we had a freezer in the basement. And the bell rings because something is not behaving. I said, well, God willing, we'll have to, you know, get a new one. So I said, just don't open it. Leave it closed, you know. Several hours go by and she said, the toaster just broke. She called me back, the toaster broke. Oh, okay. I said, well, thank God it's not a big issue. You know, we'll take care of it. I'm walking in the house and she says, my steam iron broke. Well, that's three things, okay? And now I'm panicking. Uh-oh. What happened? What did I do wrong? Where did it... See, the accuser brings all kinds of accusations, okay? And I said to the Lord, did I misbehave? Did I misappropriate something? Why are three things falling in one day? You know, that's not normal. Okay? Well, I learned that it wasn't about the finances as much as, yes, there were a couple of items that were old and they needed to be replaced. And so I heard, are you listening to the enemy or are you listening to me? Where was my thought focus? I immediately went into guilt of some form. So I would be willing to put another $10 in if that's what he wanted me to do. But that's not the case. He wasn't looking for me to do that. He was looking for me to hear what the enemy would do if three things burned out in 1 week. Actually, they burned out in 1 day. It was a lesson, okay? And I did panic. I confess to you, I did panic. However, the following week, I said to the Lord, am I supposed to change what I'm giving? And he did give me a little bit of an adjustment. You know, there was something I needed to adjust. But he said, if you take condemnation, what are you going to be doing? Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So he said, don't take the condemnation. Don't listen to the thoughts that accuse you because you know his name. It's not my spirit. It's not my Holy Spirit. So, would you just lift your hands to him? Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I need to understand that every test is allowed by you. And when the tests come, the Spirit of Truth,
the Holy Spirit
will confirm to me when I'm in obedience.
And I will be assured
of your protection over everything you've given me. That includes my appliances. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen?
Amen.
I believe we need to move in to the booth. And...